Look at that headline. Sorry, I'm a bit distracted by the headline I'm seeing on the insiders on TSN right now. A little bit distracted. The FBI meeting with NHL leaders at their Board of Governor meetings to discuss rules around gambling. I think we've gone too far. All right. I think we should readily admit we might have gone too far on the whole gambling thing when the FBI has to brief leagues on match fixing. Like, seriously.
Well, it's the unintended consequences, right? Things you didn't anticipate. Yes.
How did they not anticipate this, though?
Well, I think match fixing
has been going on, like in the smaller European soccer leagues and even in hockey leagues. So, like, there's been story after story of this.
Jamie, I think the naivety of it is that these guys sit down as a group and go, "Hey, there's a whole bunch of money here," and it wouldn't happen to us. Like, our guys are. They're stand-up guys, like hockey players. Hockey players aren't going to, I mean, come on. No. Okay, let's go. Boom, away. And then you end up having to deal with
it. Well, the Porter story was his gambling debts caught up to him, and then he had some people saying, "You want to pay us back? This is how you pay us back," which is he was.
Some of the stories you hear when somebody gets carried away with gambling are crazy. Oh.
They're crazy
what they're doing.
It's amazingly disturbing.
They're not just threatening, you know. No. They're not going to just show up and break your legs. They're threatening other family members. The whole thing with Jordan back in the day and his dad and, like.
Oh, the rumors.
I don't think we know
that.
Half of the story there.
Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone, but it is the Board of Governors meetings with the NHL, it's also winter meetings with Major League Baseball. It looks like the winter meetings are in a lot more warm climate than they are. There's snow on the mountains where they are for the, is it late?
They're in Colorado?
Yeah. For the
I've seen some pictures, though. It looks really nice.
Oh, it looks nice.
Normally they do a hot spot, don't they?
Yeah.
Where they can sun their hindies.
Boca Raton or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Meanwhile, we had a great chat with Craig Reynolds. You'll find the full podcast up at cjme.com, ckom.com, wherever you find the podcast. Also, subscribe to our YouTube page. Look for it there. You can also go back and check out our Trevor Harris and AJ Ouellette chat after the Grey Cup, of course. But
can I say something? I like Craig.
I really enjoy his company.
I do. Listen, I know you've taken some heat because you've expressed your, you know, over the past.
I'm like, a homer.
Yeah, you're a homer because you actually like. But he's actually a really nice guy, right? And we've been, you know, in the same room with him and had a chance to share a mic a couple of times. And the conversations on the mic and off the mic have the same tone and feel. He is not, I mean, he's got to be careful. He's the president and CEO. He's got to be careful about how he presents things to the public, right? So you can hear that in his delivery. But at the same time, he's the same guy that you get on the mic and off the mic. And I have respect for that.
One of the biggest topics today in the Canadian Football League we brought up with Craig was the CFL schedule.
Hypothetically, if there was one change you could make on the schedule, what would it be?
I think that one, I've been on record with the Thursday night's challenges in Saskatchewan. So I would probably trade a Thursday night for any other game.
Okay.
I just know, and I know this from growing up in Foam Lake, like it's a challenge to, you know, we have so many fans who travel so far to our games, and it just is a challenge on Thursday night to make that trip. And so it's a challenge for out of town fans in particular. Challenge for families as well to have that Thursday night game. So if there was one trade off I could do, I'd trade that. Anybody who was willing to trade me that Thursday night game, I'd make that deal right now.
So, Craig, one of the things, bye week, week one, we're having the debate, should the CFL always start with a Grey Cup rematch off the hop? Is it tough to go week one, bye week, when you, I imagine, would rather it be home opener, Grey Cup banner night, week one of the CFL season?
Yeah, a little bit. I have to be honest, a little bit. But obviously the multiple teams on the bye week is a product of what Walker was saying, is the World Cup. So we've got two venues offline.
Yeah.
And so the schedule needs to be more loaded towards the back. So you put three teams on bye to start with to kind of accommodate that. The reality is, in order to launch a schedule by December 9th, mm-hmm. which is today, today's December 9th, right?
Yes.
December 9th, yeah. Sorry, I'm losing track of time.
Nailed it.
Nailed it. But in order to do that, you have to have your schedule sort of, you know, finalized really before Grey Cup. So the reality is the schedule was pretty much final prior to Grey Cup, and you can't just start changing one variable in a schedule that's complicated. You almost have to redo the entire schedule. So you can't adjust in real time. So when the schedule was sort of, I'll call finalized, we didn't know who was going to be in the Grey Cup. We certainly didn't know we were going to be in it, and we didn't know we were going to be Grey Cup champs.
There it goes for a little bit from Craig Reynolds on the schedule. It's interesting to know that the schedule is pretty much baked. I believe I remember hearing they had a meeting to finalize the CFL schedule before, like, the Grey Cup week. Like, they had already done their back and forth. Here it is. Are we all happy with it now? And I doubt, and nobody wants to be in the room, goes, can we have Montreal, Saskatchewan week one? Well, but we don't know where yet. Can we wait until after the game? Because I was looking, the way the schedule would have been set, it would have been, okay, Hamilton's at home to Montreal. We're going to put Saskatchewan there. Now, Hamilton's on their bye week, week one, and let's give the Riders
the bye weeks were bye week spread later out a little on. Bit better last year.
In the season, and instead of that bye week, Hamilton can have the home game against the Riders, and it gets, once you hit one domino, it all falls down.
You know, so what?
It was interesting to get that perspective from Craig. That, yeah. If you want the schedule in December, and a lot of fans, we hear, you want the schedule in December.
That might be the trade-off.
You're not going to get a lot of the marquee matchups unless it happens by fluke.
But here's the other thing too, right? Like, let's say we do, like everyone says, we all get together and mm-hmm. everybody that cares about the CFL gets together and we all get a vote and everybody votes. No, we care more about putting the Grey Cup match up at the start of the season.
Yep.
But you got to wait until January to get this. Now you're also adding the competition from outside, you know, outside companies, outside venues, outside,
yeah. Oh,
like,
yeah.
All
it
of
would
a
be
sudden,
a now bit of a mess.
Now you're fighting. Now all of a sudden you got three Thursday games or something like that, right?
But it was interesting to hear, and of course, there's a lot more with Craig on the season. A look ahead to next year. You can find it wherever you find the Green Zone podcast. Coming up next, how quickly should I prepare myself for my team, the Vancouver Canucks, to have their captain, Quinn Hughes, sent out the door via trade? Drew Remenda's thoughts coming up next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie and Locker with you here in the Green Zone on this blustery Tuesday around the province. If you're heading out on the highways, you want to hit up the highway hotline. Some areas are improving. Gravelburg was travel not recommended. There still are some, not as many. Highway 1 east of Pilot Butte, Balgoni, all the way to Wolseley, still travel not recommended. But highways starting to improve a little bit in some areas of Saskatchewan.
Problem today was that some of the areas, you know, got down to around 1 or 2, right? And then it froze.
Then freezing
again.
Rain. Yeah, a little bit of a mess.
We got flurries in the forecast here for the next little bit, too,
yep.
Right?
It's going to be an issue. Thursday. So keep that Highway Hotline app open and ready to go before you hit the road. The roads may be improving, but what is not improving this season is the Vancouver Canucks. They quite suck at hockey. They are last in points percentage. And the trade rumors continue to fly around Quinn Hughes. So
he looks miserable, too.
Oh, he does. Well, wouldn't everybody's talking about your trade, and do you want to play with your brothers, and is it going to be Detroit? Drew Remenda, we asked him if I should prepare myself for a move soon when it comes to Quinn Hughes, or should they just rip the Band-Aid off and do it as quick as possible?
Yeah. Yes, and I don't know if he'll get traded to New Jersey, but he'll end up in New Jersey. That's what he wants, because he's going to be a free agent. Then the team, let's say the team trades for him, that's not New Jersey, because they think they've got a shot at the cup. they will have to give up quite a bit to, quite possibly, but really to the percentage of almost for sure, where they would lose Quinn Hughes after the playoffs because he wants to go play with his brothers. Period. End of discussion. There's not much that you can do in Vancouver to keep Quinn Hughes. In fact, I don't think there's anything that people in Vancouver or the team in Vancouver could do. And also, you know, you want volunteers. You don't want hostages. He doesn't want to be there. He wants to be with his brothers. Which is, hey, I as you get to free agency, you can go. Or you've earned that. You can go make your choice. So I think you have to steady yourself for that. Mind you, there are teams, and you're going to have to. These other teams that want to go out and get him, you're going to have to pay a high premium, and it may be only temporary.
Well, and that was the point I made to Jamie earlier, was he's not a rental guy. His contract's too big. It's not somebody you slip in and go, all right, okay, we're on a two-week run here to finish off the season and three-week run, four-week run, and then we're going to make the playoffs, and we got Quinn, you know, a good puck-moving defenseman. Do you see him being a rental player, Drew?
Well, maybe if you want to put all your chips in, but I would rephrase what you said, Walker, as a good puck moving defenseman. Besides Cale Makar in the National Hockey League, Quinn Hughes is next as far as the best defenseman in the league. He's that good.
Well, that's what I mean. Like that just sort of takes him out of the conversation for a rental player.
No, it doesn't.
You build a team around that guy.
Well, yeah, but that's the teams that are going into this. These general managers aren't stupid, although sometimes they make stupid moves. But the teams that are going to go into this, if trying to get Quinn at the trade deadline or trying to get him as a short-term fix for their run to the cup, these are teams who are going to be very close and are going to push all the chips in to try to win the Stanley Cup. And they're going to look at it and go, yeah, we're going to lose some really good players and some really good prospects and a couple of draft picks, but if we're able to win the cup, let's do it. Jamie, I would say this, Jamie. If the shoe was on the other foot and Vancouver had a chance to go get a Quinn Hughes because they were that close to the Stanley Cup, but then after that you've had some years of misery again, would you want to see your team do it?
No, Vancouver's never going to win anything, so it doesn't matter.
What did you make of him calling him Fitzy in that interview, that post-game interview?
Tom Fitzgerald.
Yeah.
The GM of the Devils.
Because everyone was like, oh, he's gone. He's calling the guy by his nickname. Well,
He's had obviously he's met Fitzy before because of his brothers playing there. They've been in the playoffs. He's been at those playoff games.
Tom's the assistant GM of the Olympic team. Of course, right. Quinn and Tom right. know each other, like the U.S. Olympic team.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. So I think people are fine with him calling him Fitzy. Although I think Vancouver Canucks fans would be thinking tampering. Oh. That's tampering, but maybe not.
That is Drew Romano on the Quinn Hughes rumors. Glad I didn't get a Quinn Hughes jersey.
Prepare for it.
Yeah.
It's coming.
If I was Quinn Hughes, I'd want to get the heck out of Vancouver as well. Jamie and Locker with the air in the Green Zone. Just got a text in from Dave. Craig to Davidson. Dave says, pure ice. There's a semi-jackknife facing the wrong direction. No plows that he's seen as of yet. Of course, you can track plows on the highway hotline. That stretch of highway is on the highway hotline. Loose snow, slush, ice. But now the temperature is dipping. It was around that minus one. Now it's like -9. It's dropping. We're going to get freeze. It's the sun's dropped. It's time to turn on the lights and take care on the highways this afternoon or this evening around the province.
I got to get those. I always forget that I have them too, but I should have had them on this morning because I took a bit of a tumble. But I've got cleat things that you put on your boots, like spikes.
Are you okay?
Oh,
that's like the second time.
No. I didn't. No, I slipped.
Oh,
I took a knee. I didn't like. It wasn't a garage sale.
Oh, okay.
It was just a stepping around a corner, and I was like, "Well, here we go."
Yeah. Take care. Let us know 1-877-332-8255. As we turn our attention to the World Juniors, which of course you can hear starting Boxing Day on CJME and CKOM, and the general manager who put the team together that was announced yesterday, Alan Miller. But we had to give him some grief that there's only one Saskatchewan kid on the team in Cole Reshney.
Yeah, you know what? It's I didn't even realize that until you said it, guys. But you know, it's just the nature of, you know, one guy from the Quebec League. Obviously, more guys from the NCAA than ever before with the, you know, the change in the rules. So, you know, but yeah, there was a couple of Sasky guys that were close, but just didn't get into the final group.
Alan, all kidding aside. Yeah. Right,
yeah.
You're not putting together an all-star team. I think that's something that needs to be said out loud. We're having these conversations right now revolving around who's going to be representing Canada in Italy in February with the men's, you know, Olympic team. When you guys are putting together a team, there's a lot of thought that goes into it. You don't just look at the top of the leaderboard, scoring board, and go, all right, well, grab those 15 guys.
Yeah, no, it's not an all-star team. It's you know, you need to, in the essence of the word true team, you really need to build it that way. And it's a hard tournament. We really have a mindset on, you know, what the hardest games look like. You know, when you get to the semifinals against the Finland, or a gold medal game against Sweden or the U.S., or how hard Czechia plays, you know, we kind of have a vision of what it takes to be successful in those games. And you know, and there's lots of things that go into consideration. Obviously, you know, things start with skill and talent. We want to be able to play fast. We want to be able to, you know, you got to score goals at that level, of course, like at any level. But, you know, last year the team didn't score very proficiently, and that was a big part of, you know, finishing fifth. So, you know, for us, it's, you need different types of players. We talk about guys that can play a two-way game. We look at our special teams and how many left shot, right shot, face off guys. All those things go into play,
yeah,
as you build the roster and then you make those final decisions.
When you go in, let's put a spotlight on Macklin, Saskatchewan's Cole Reshney, of course, in Victoria, a heck of a hockey player, and now off to the University of North Dakota, has been a part of the U18 program. What are your hopes for Cole coming into this training camp and the World Juniors?
Yeah, I think Cole's on a real good run right now, guys. You know, going back to the playoffs last year in the Western Hockey League, I thought he was one of, if not one of the best players in the playoffs at the time. Made a real good impression on Dale Hunter at our summer camp. And I think Cole falls into the lineup for us where, you know, we like the mix of guys, and we like the fact that we've got, you know, what I would say, you know, players right through our lineup that play the game the right way, guys that we can trust to play the right way. You know, Cole, you know, his flexibility up and down the lineup. He's versatile in terms of producing offense, matching up against the other team's top players, PK or PP. And, you know, I just put him in that category. Like, he's, you know, and, you know, we want smart players. You know, he's got real good hockey sense. So, you know, we project he's going to be an important player for us in a lot of different ways.
He sounds like a player that everyone's going to fall in love with. I want to ask a question, Alan, from the perspective of where the program has gotten Canada last couple of years. And for a lack of a better expression, you and the Hunter brothers were brought in to fix this program. Is there added pressure? Do you feel that pressure because of the situation you're in this year?
I think it's impossible to not be cognizant of the results the last two years, you know, kind of the backlash and the drama that comes out of that, with the passion that, you know, Canadians have for this tournament and for this team. You know, I think whenever you're involved in the World Junior team, you know, whether it's in my role or the Hunters or Dale coaching or, you know, the players and so forth, I think there's always pressure. You know, I think that's part of the excitement. I think that's part of the challenge. You know, Hockey Canada came out of those, you know, two tournaments, and, you know, I give Scott Salmon, our senior VP of hockey ops, all the credit in the world. He accepted that the last 2 years weren't good enough, and, you know, essentially put a new structure in place with, you know, hiring a full-time general manager and also bring in Misha Donskoff in from the Dallas Stars as a VP of hockey ops and a men's national team coach who's, you know, going to be an associate coach with the national junior team and an assistant coach with our Olympic team. So, you know, I think all those things build up that there's, you know, a real focus on this year's tournament. And, you know, we're doing everything we can in terms of the right players, you know, our camp structure with a lot of emphasis on preparation, you know, to get back on track and bring back a world championship.
Alan Miller joining us, general manager of the World Junior Team of the Program of Excellence with the Hockey Canada, as they put together that roster, announced it yesterday, 27 players, among them a few NHL loans. What's it been like dealing with NHL teams, or do you just sit and wait for the phone call, or how much are you on the phone with the general managers or assistant general managers going, what are you thinking? Because it's great to see Parekh, Misa, and Brunica coming over from the National Hockey League for the World Junior squad this year.
Yeah, it's the NHL teams have been great. Communication has been you know, consistent. Scott Salmon deals directly with a lot of the GMs, you know, in his other duties as, you know, part of the management group with, you know, the NHL GMs around the Olympic team. We remain in touch. We, you know, the NHL teams that, you know, have players that are still eligible, obviously, you know, no Schaefer, no Celebrini, no Senecky. You know, those guys are just, you know, their impact is too great when you look at their production and in the minutes that they're playing. But, you know, the other players available, Dickinson, Kindle, Catton. Now Catton's week to week with an injury here, so we're not 100% sure of his status and what his timeline looks like. And
Berkeley played last year, right?
Yeah, Catton played last year. So, you know, we're in touch. We're not going to know about those players. They're obviously not coming to camp opening Friday. You know, those teams are going to take, you know, the timeline right up to probably the 21st or 22nd before we depart for Minneapolis, before they let us know if they're loaning them or not. And like a lot of other things going on in the NHL, guys, is, you know, lots of injuries popping up here and there. Yeah. So that's a concern, too, if San Jose, can they release a Sam Dickinson if, you know, depending on their injuries. So we like our group. We finalized our roster based on, you know, no other help from the NHL. If we do get another player from the NHL, it will certainly be a positive. It'll certainly be a bonus to our team.
I'm curious, Alan. It seems like there was a different approach to building this team this year, and then it's less of a tryout and more of a, am I wrong about that? More of a camp. Was that a result of poor results for the last couple of years?
I think it was part of, you know, just kind of a debriefing on, you know, what happened the last couple of years, and then the restructuring in our department to, you know, to bring me on board, elevate Byron Benora to head scout throughout the Program of Excellence. You know, our first phone call after I took the job was to the Hunters to get the Hunters involved. You know, which Dale and Mark have been outstanding to work with here through the process, and certainly look forward to turning over the team to Dale here. And you know, and that's what we're starting here on Friday is, yeah, no selection camp, no U Sport games. We really looked at our new structure and said, hey, we want to do our work in advance. You know, let's not spend a lot of time on who the seventh and eighth defenseman is, who the third goalie is, who's the 14th, 15th forwards. Let's go with a smaller group and put a real emphasis on preparation. And that's what we're doing, is turning over 27 guys to Dale and his coaches. Sure, we have a few decisions to make, maybe a couple more if we get guys from the NHL, but really an emphasis on getting our team ready for the 26th against Czechia, and then getting better every day after that.
That is Alan Miller, general manager of the World Junior Team. Of course, you can hear those games Right here, starting Boxing Day. All those Team Canada games on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Each everyday champs and chumps here on the Green Zone. I got a special chump. This is a personal story. I'm going to get into it. Chump today. If you were driving a Mazda CX-90 in the north end of Regina today, you're the chump. My goodness. I have never seen a more egregious driving behavior in my life outside of today. First off, I'm going eastbound. All of a sudden, I turn left to turn right. This car tries to jump to the right. Well, I'm already turning. I've already signaled. I'm already over there. We go to the lights. They're on their horn. And there is southbound traffic actively going. What do you want me to do? Drive into traffic? It's a school zone as well. So I eventually turn. They jump to the left lane and hit the gas. They're in a school zone. At the time, students are arriving at school. Then they got stuck behind a truck, cut me off again. I couldn't believe this. The end of this story tops it all off. I trust. We're going southbound. They are up behind a City of Regina truck on their horn. The light turned green, and right when it turned green, bam! I'm like, this person is in an emergency. Clearly, they need to get somewhere. Keep heading south. Then it gets to a third lane because you can turn into a mall. She tries to jump right to pass on the right, but there's a car already in that lane turning, jumps back into the left lane, then gets right once they clear that vehicle. Then they turn into the parking lot, ladies and gentlemen. She's honking at people. She's cutting in and out of traffic. And where does she end up? She was the 10th car in a lineup at Starbucks. Swear to God. Swear to God.
Oh.
She stopped. I was like, she is not stopping at Starbucks. In that it's the longest. It takes the most time. It's the most expensive overpriced coffee. And I'm like, what are we doing? You just...
Yeah,
are losing her, your mind.
She needed her Starbucks
to get in
fix.
The Starbucks line.
She needed her Starbucks fix.
There's my chump today. Oh my!
Can we champ old
Starbucks
man Rivers?
Ain't that good?
Can we champ old man Rivers?
Oh, champ! Yeah, Grandpa Rivers for getting back in the NFL.
Yeah,
grandfathers everywhere. There's still an opportunity for you to find your pro sports glory. Philip Rivers is back in the NFL at the age of 44.
We did look this up earlier today. How many grandfathers have played in the NFL?
Officially, two. Philip Rivers and Brett Favre.
And if you believe that, I got a bridge for you and a mountain for sale.
Officially, it's those two. And that's it for grandpa.